Father, I thank you for time with brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, I thank you for your presence in our life. I thank you for your guidance, your direction. I thank you, God, for providing the way of escape when we're tempted. And I thank you, Father, for your grace, even in our failures. I thank you that even though a righteous man may fall seven times, that he will rise again. Father, we thank you for blessing Larry's trip. Thank you for bringing him home safely. We pray, Father, for his friend Dalton, that you will bless his doctor visits that are upcoming. And we pray you will bless his health. And we pray you restore his body. Father, we thank you for blessing the Dodelia family. Thank you, God, for knitting this family together so that we could be there for one another. And I pray, Father, you will continue to bless Terry and his family. Continue to bless Dan and the boys and Renee, everyone, all of Stevie's loved ones. Lord, please continue to bless them. Please continue to comfort them. Please continue to help them to recognize that you're close by. You haven't left them. And Father, we want to pray for Elena. We pray, Father, that you'll heal her body this morning. Please deliver her from whatever is attacking her health. And again, God, we thank you for how far you've brought Gary. We can't thank you enough, God, for seeing him through. And we pray you'll continue to bless his treatments. And please continue to protect him as he recovers. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us time, God, to study your word together. As we read and as we study, please, Father, I pray you'll teach us. Help us to grow in grace and in our knowledge of you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21 through 26. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught.
Pastor Corey, can that sudden terror they're talking about be like a panic attack, for example?
Well, anything, any attack. You're not supposed to sit around worrying about what could happen.
People deal with a lot of anxiety.
What might happen, yeah. And we had a good discussion about that back when we were studying verse 5 of chapter 3. Since you brought it up, let's just have a little recap. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And what we were discussing was, when we're not trusting the Lord, and we're letting ourselves worry and panic and have anxiety about what may happen, which lots of times we're just creating in our own mind. It's not even real. But what that stress does is it can affect you physically. And so the wisdom of God tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and not worry about those things. And not worry about anything that you can't control. But instead trust him. Cast your cares on him. We read in Philippians 4, pray about everything. Be anxious for nothing, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind, and it will affect your health. So yes, do not be afraid of sudden terror. Verse 25. I have had moments where I whipped myself into a frenzy, worried about something. I remember one time Luke was staying with someone else, and I don't know, I just had a thought, and then I started dwelling on that thought. And then that thought grew into the worst horror movie that I ever saw, but it was all in my head, all the bad things that I were thinking that were going to happen. and it affected me physically. I was shaking. I whipped myself into that panic attack. And all of it was not real. I just did that to myself because I was worrying. Yeah. And then I called Luke and he was fine. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Do not be afraid of sudden terror. And listen, let's not lie about this. Sudden terror could happen. It does happen in the world. But we're not supposed to sit around being afraid of it. Because God's in control. And even if it does happen, because the rest of that verse, I underline this in my Bible, it says, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. It doesn't say if it comes, because trouble is going to come. But you're not supposed to sit around worrying about it. And you're not supposed to live your life in fear. The Lord is supposed to be our confidence. Our confidence. Now I say this almost every week. I mean, this. I know that these things aren't simple to do, right? But the idea is simple. God is giving us His wisdom here, how to live a life of faith. It's all right here. It's all right here. Okay, jumping back to where we started. I actually even want to go back to last week because, you know, I always run class late. Let's read verses 19 and 20 together. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. And what I was so excited about talking about this last week. Remember, Miss Kim? And I didn't have enough time to really say anything about it. But what an awesome thought it is to know that the wisdom that God is teaching us in His Word is the same wisdom that God used to create the heavens and the earth. It's the same wisdom. It's not a different wisdom. It's the same wisdom. Now, we can't know everything that God knows. We studied in 1 Corinthians 13. We're told that we only know in part right now. But someday we'll know in full. Yeah, we only know in part. But God is sharing His wisdom with us. The same wisdom He used to create the universe is the wisdom He shares with us so that we can live in it. That's what God has done for us. And how has God given us this wisdom? He's given it to us by His Word. By His Word. Which is the same way that He created the world. Was by His Word. Let's look at some verses. I want to dwell on this for a minute. Psalm 33, verse 6 says, by the Word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. By the word of the Lord, God said, let there be light. And bang, there was light. God created everything by the word, by His own words. And we're told in Hebrews 1, verse 3, that by that same word, He's holding everything together. He's upholding all things by the word of His power. And again, tying that to our life, the Bible teaches us that faith comes from hearing the word of God. It was God speaking to you through His word that helped you to believe so that you could be saved. And again, it's His word that will hold our lives together as we grow in our knowledge of Him. As we take in His word and we're continually washed. And as we continually grow in our knowledge, as we overcome the things that trip us up, as we learn to trust Him more and more. Our lives hold together. I know this to be a fact. Because I tried holding my life together on my own once. About the first half of it. And that was a miserable failure. But now Christ is holding my life together. And he's taken something that was ashes and made it something beautiful. He's holding it together. God, through His word, created the world and holds it together. And through His word, He makes men into new creations and holds their lives together. That's how important the word is. The word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the word of God become flesh. Well, we're told that in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Hallelujah.
The two of them. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yes.
He was in the beginning with God, and He's with God again. Jesus is God, and He's with God. We have eyewitness testimony of that. In the book of Acts chapter 7, a guy named Stephen was being stoned to death for his faith, and he looked up into heaven, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And then John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Eyewitness testimony. Not only that, we're told in Revelation when Jesus comes back, He'll have a name written on His leg, I believe it says. And it says, "The Word of God." I don't like when I'm guessing. I gotta look. Oh, no, the name written on His robe and on His thigh is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It says His name at verse 13, Revelation 19:13. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. The Word of God. So, yeah, that's the importance of the Word. And again, like I told you, when we're studying Proverbs and we're talking about wisdom, wisdom is being personified in Proverbs, but the New Testament teaches us that Jesus is our wisdom. He's our wisdom. The Word is our wisdom. Okay, so to the verses we read, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. "My son, let them not depart from your eyes." Let them not depart from your eyes. This was something else that struck me when I was studying. What does that mean? Let them not depart from your eyes. It's so easy to read and go past it and not think about it. He wants you to keep your eyes on the Word. You have to look at it. You have to read it. The Word of God is to be retained visually. Visually. That's why it's been written for you. So God spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Okay? And He recorded that for us. It was written. God said, "Write this down." It's in the Bible. "Write this down. Add this to the book." God recorded all this for us so that we could have it, so that we could learn from it. He recorded the Old Testament for us so we could learn from it. Let me give you a couple of verses about that. Romans 15:4 says, "Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." So that's the good side. We have the good examples written for us, and we have the bad examples written for us. 1 Corinthians 10:11, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." So the Old Testament was spoken by God to the prophets. Okay? That's the only way the Word of God was transmitted orally. Okay? It was transmitted orally the first time when God gave it to the prophets. The prophets wrote it down, and then what happened was God preserved it for us over time. Written down. There are people who believe that God's Word came to us orally, like the game telephone. And that's not how we got the Word of God. It wasn't oral. It was written. And it was written again. And it was copied. And it was copied. And it was copied. And that's how we know that we can trust it. If we played the game telephone in here, if I took this half of the room and I said, "Okay," I whispered something to Luke, and you guys passed it around word of mouth, but on this side of the room, I wrote you a note, and you had to write it again and pass it to him, and this side we wrote it, which side would be accurate? Yeah. When you can just copy the message and give it to the next guy, you can keep it accurate. And that's what God has done. He's transmitted the Word down to us through writing and through copying. And that's why Solomon can say here, "Let it not depart from your eyes." They've always had it in front of them, written down, so that they can continue to read it and study it. Yes.
Remember when you taught us they found those Dead Sea Scrolls?
Yeah.
And they found that really old one later, and it actually matched Word.
So the Dead Sea Scrolls, 1950-something, they found these scrolls in a cave in the Middle East. What happened was a young boy, shepherd, lost a sheep. And he didn't know where it went, so he thought it might have hidden in these caves. So what he was doing was he was throwing rocks into the cave mouths trying to find the sheep. I don't know if that works. He was hoping for can get one. I don't know. But anyway, he's throwing rocks into the caves looking for the sheep. He throws a rock into a cave and he hears glass break. And he goes and he tells somebody. And they come and they go to that cave and they find these jars with scrolls rolled up in them. The Dead Sea Scrolls. And it's like four or five, seven caves, I don't know. They end up searching all these and they come out with a collection of scrolls that somebody had hidden there. And they found the Old Testament. Now the thing about these scrolls were they were 1,000 years older than the oldest copy of the Old Testament that we had. They were 1,000 years older. And the Old Testament copies that they found were the same as the ones we had. So 1,000 years earlier, they were reading the same scripture that they were reading 1,000 years later. We're reading the same scripture today that they were reading 3,000 years ago in the Old Testament. It's been preserved for us. If you believe that God can create the heavens and the earth, then I think it's not too hard to believe that God can protect a book and keep it for us. And again, that's why Solomon can say, keep this in front of your eyes. Keep reading it. Now, the Bible is done being written, okay? I want to show you something. Because God spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Now, in these last days, he has spoken to us through Jesus Christ, through his apostles, okay? That's what we have in the New Testament. It's been recorded for us. It's been preserved for us. What God wanted us to have through eyewitnesses of Jesus' glory. Eyewitness accounts. Turn to Revelation and then go back one page to the book of Jude. Jude, verse 3, I want to read. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, he was just excited to write about salvation and how we're all going to heaven. But he couldn't because he continues, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. So, the faith, the beliefs that God wants us to have, they've been delivered to us, right? How many times were they delivered?
Once.
And who were they delivered for? For all. Delivered once. For all, once for all, God has delivered what he wants us to know, and this is it, it's complete. And the reason that's so important is because of verse 4. He says, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason this is so important is because there are people who are always trying to creep in and turn us away from God's word to something else, to another Christ, to another gospel. And they have another spirit. They have an evil spirit. And that's why this is so important. That's why it's so important that your focus in your walk with God is on his word, that you keep it in front of your eyes. If you come to know the Word of God really well, then when you hear something that's false, immediately a red flag will pop up. And you'll say, excuse me? I don't think that's what the Bible says. So important. Because people are being destroyed because they're being told that sin is not a big deal. They're being told that there's lots of ways to God and not just Jesus Christ. And these people are being led to destruction. That's why you have to keep it in front of your eyes. You got to guard it. Let's go back. Any questions about that? Oh, I turned the page and I have one more verse. Wait, I got one more verse. Turn to Psalm chapter 12. Got to show you this before I move on. You should have seen me when I was studying and thinking about these things. I was all fired up. I watch a lot of videos about people who are false teachers. I just like to know what the going lies are. I just like to know so that I'm always aware and I can show some. Well, here's what the Bible says about that. Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. And there's another place where the Bible says the word of the Lord is forever settled in heaven. Settled, it's done. Okay, back in Proverbs 3. So he says, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Okay, that word keep is important. There's a progression here when it comes to wisdom from what we studied before. In verse 13, it says, happy is the man who finds wisdom. We talked about that. That word find means to search diligently. And when we studied that last week, we read another proverb that says, those who search for me diligently will find me. When you want to know the truth, God will teach you. You got to dig into the word. So it's gaining wisdom starts with a diligent search. That's verse 13. And then in verse 18, we read, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. So you search diligently for her, and you take hold of her. You take hold of wisdom. You seize it, is what the word means. And then in verse 21, we're told to keep it. To keep it. To guard it. It means to guard it. Protect it. Maintain it. Maintain it. A guy at work, he jokes with me about reading the Bible. And he jokes about my job. He's like, your job is just to read a book. And you just read it over and over and over. And he's exactly right. Because you have to maintain it. You got to maintain it. You don't just read it once and then you put it on the shelf and you think it's over. You got to keep this wisdom fresh. Fresh in your heart and mind. So the word keep it means guard it, protect it, maintain it, and obey it. Keep it. If you keep the commands, that means you're obeying the commands. That one word keep means all that. And then the promise for us in the rest of the verses that we read in 22 through 26 is that if you will keep wisdom, then wisdom will keep you. If you will keep wisdom, wisdom will keep you. Verse 22 says, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Now we know that wisdom is a tree of life. Wisdom, God's wisdom, teaches us how to have eternal life and how to live a godly life. Okay? And when that life is real on the inside, you know what happens? It decorates you on the outside. They will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Last Sunday night when I preached in Ecclesiastes, it says, a man's wisdom makes his face shine. Real life on the inside decorates the life on the outside. You know, the opposite is true, too. When someone's full of dead men's bones, you see death comes out of their mouth, comes out in their actions. Verse 23, then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. The promise of wisdom is a safe walk and a sweet sleep. Isn't that great? Trusting in God's word, it'll protect you. It'll protect you from yourself, okay? And it'll protect you from outside forces too. Keep you from stumbling and help you to not worry about what others are doing. It'll keep you from stumbling. We've talked over and over about how wisdom keeps you from doing things that are foolish and bringing trouble into your own life through your own actions. We've talked about how wisdom keeps you from ending your life early by doing something foolish. Your integrity will protect you. Proverbs 10:9 says, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. So not only does wisdom give us a safe walk, it gives us a sweet sleep. You guys sleep well? Yep. Yep. Sleep is a gift, okay? Don't ever let anybody tell you that sleep is evil. Laziness is evil. Being a workaholic is evil. But the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. Do your job and then get some rest. A precious night's sleep is a gift from God And by the way, we've also talked about this, that there are a lot of things that keep people from sleeping. Do you remember? Did we talk about it last week in Ecclesiastes 5, that a person's wealth will keep them from sleeping because they're worried about losing it? You guys are right here in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 4, verse 16. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. See, there are things that keep people from sleeping. But sleep is a gift. A good night's sleep is a gift from God. Psalm 127:2 says, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep." God is trying to give you sleep. And if you're sitting up worrying about stuff, and you're waking up early worrying about stuff, you're being disobedient to God, who's telling you, get some sleep. Beloved, get some sleep. Do you know why you can have a good night's sleep if you're trusting God? Because God is not sleeping. He's still awake, watching over you, and taking care of things. Do you believe that? If you believe that, then you can say, thank you, Lord, and you can roll over, close your eyes, and go to sleep. Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4 says, "He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." God's not sleeping. God's wide awake, keeping his eye on you. I hope that helps you sleep. It's a gift. You understand that right now at this moment, God is taking care of us. Right? Right at this very moment. Well, if you believe that, then what you can do is you can say to yourself, okay, the next moment, he's still going to be taking care of me. And when I go to sleep, he's still going to be taking care of me. Well, and when my son leaves the house, he's going to take care of him. Trust in the Lord and rest. A long time ago, when I was reading the Psalms, I came across this. There's an evening psalm and a morning psalm. In Psalm 3 and 4. Psalm 3 and 4. Psalm 3, if you have titles in your Bible, says the Lord helps his troubled people. This is a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And you read back in Samuel about David's life and how his son tried to overthrow him. And they fled. And he's on the run from his son who is trying to take over. And this is what he's talking about. Psalm 3, verse 1. "Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God." And that word, Selah, means to pause and think about it. Verse 3. "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill." And then look at what happened in verse 5. After he cried out to the Lord, and he knows that God heard him, look at what happened in verse 5. "I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people." That sounds like sudden terror that we read back in Proverbs 3. "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people." So this is like a morning, a psalm for in the morning, when you wake up. "I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me." Then, the next day, what happens is, since you know that last night you laid down and slept, and God sustained you, guess what you can do tonight? You can go back to bed when it's time, knowing that God will take care of you again. That's Psalm 4. "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increase. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So cool. Again, in keeping with the theme of Proverbs 3, our job is to trust the Lord with all our heart. And if you're doing that, you can sleep. If you pray about what you're anxious about, trust Him with it, you can sleep. If you've made mistakes, you get down on your knees before God and you confess them and receive His forgiveness and go to bed with a clear conscience and sleep. Sweet sleep is a gift from God. All right, last thing I want to say. Proverbs 3, 25 and 26. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. There will be trouble in the world. We live in a fallen world. There will be trouble. But our job is not to be afraid of it. And our job is to trust that God knows what He's doing if He allows it to happen. Verse 26 says, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. The word confident there is interesting. When I was studying, I found out part of the definition of the word confident, that the Hebrew word that's used there means to flank. Flank, you know what that means? Where someone guards you at your side. Flank. I'll go this way and you go that way and you watch that side and I'll watch this side. To flank you. That's what this word confident means. It means that the Lord is at your side. And that's why we're not afraid. So, keeping our faith, keeping wisdom, contains in it the promise that God is keeping us. Pray. Don't be anxious. Okay? Pray about everything. And let the peace of God rule in your heart and in your mind. That's wisdom from God, guys. It's foolish. I think it was Psalm 127. It's foolish to sit up all night worrying. When you have a God who is in control, who by His word is holding all things together, He's able to do far more than you could ever ask or even think, then isn't it foolish to sit up worrying when you can just trust Him? Isn't it foolish to be afraid? I have put my trust in the Lord. I will not be afraid of man. What can he do to me? All right, that's all I have to say. I hope that helps. It really helped me. So why don't we close with prayer? Heavenly Father, I am so thankful, Father, for your precious promises. Father, I am so thankful that we don't have to sit up at night being anxious about what's to come. We can cast all our cares on you, knowing that you care for us, and we can enjoy sweet sleep. We don't have to be afraid because we know that you are at our side and you've promised that you'll never leave us or forsake us. And even if trouble does come, we know it comes at your will and you have a purpose for it. And your plan is to use it for the good of those that love you. Father, thank you for these precious words. Help us to trust them with all our heart. Lord, help us to keep diligently pursuing and growing in our knowledge of you. Thank you for this time in your word. Please continue to bless this day. Father, I pray you bless this service about to start. Please bless the fellowship this afternoon. Please use these things, God, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a great day. Go take a nap.